thank you for joining us for Easter here at Fellowship Bible Church. And for those of you who don't have a seat, we apologize. For those across the room watching on video, hello. Apparently an empty tomb's a popular thing. We gather today linking arms with believers from around the world to celebrate and proclaim a risen Savior. And that includes those in Sri Lanka, if you haven't heard, who were viciously attacked while they celebrated Easter, with several hundred losing their lives. If Jesus of Nazareth was who he claimed to be, then we should expect that he performed miracles. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the miraculous. The Gospels, the first four books of your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record for us collectively 35 distinct sign miracles that came from the hand or the voice of Jesus. You can't turn a page of the Gospels, which tell the story of Christ's life and ministry, without seeing a miracle emerge from the pages. In the miracles, Jesus exhibited God's power, his power over nature, his power over demons, his power over sickness, the power of multiplication, even power over death. And these mighty works affected all kinds of different people, both children and adults, women and men, the religious and the irreligious, people of influence and people of great need. And these signs and wonders, they occurred in all kinds of different places, weddings and at funerals, in the city and in the country, on land and at sea, in people's homes and in public spaces. And in each miracle, people were amazed and astonished. The miracles are the stories of a higher hand intervening in the natural order to enact sovereign will. In the miracles, Jesus put the power of heaven on full display here on earth, and he revealed his true identity. It just makes sense. If Jesus was truly the Son of God, if he's the promised Savior, if he is the worthy one, the Lamb of God, then it would make sense that he would manifest his supernatural power and show himself to the world to be divine. Here's our working definition of a miracle. It's a supernatural manifestation of divine power. A miracle is an unusual, it's a unique event that authenticates a message or a messenger. C.S. Lewis said this, that a miracle, by very definition, is an exception. It's a special intervention by God on behalf of his people. So when Jesus performed miracles, he not only changed the lives of those involved, but he provided evidence that he was the Savior. The miracles are designed to arrest the attention of people. They're signals, they're revelations, they are signs pointing to something beyond themselves, and they testify to, they evidence the presence of the divine. They point us to Jesus as Savior. And here at Fellowship Bible Church, we've been studying these miracles of Jesus since January. And we've looked at 11 of those 35 sign miracles in our teaching series. And we've seen Jesus do amazing things. He satisfied the hungry. He's brought peace to those in chaos. He's healed the sick. He's brought freedom to those in bondage. He's brought sight to those who are blind, and even life to those who were dead. But there's one more miracle we haven't looked at. And it's a miracle that stands apart, a miracle of culmination and triumph. And it's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it's why we gather on Easter to celebrate. Now, this miracle is unique in a couple of ways. First, it's the only miracle that didn't just come from Jesus, it happened to Jesus. He was the one on the receiving end of the supernatural power when he was raised from the dead. Secondly, it's unique. Because this is the only miracle that can change your life. You know, every miracle we've looked at in our series is a story of something that happened long ago that changed someone else's life, whether it was the man born blind or the woman who was subject to bleeding or Jairus' daughter who was dead. But this miracle's different because it still changes lives today, and it can change yours. So hear the story of the miracle of the resurrection from Matthew chapter 28. It says this: after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. It was early morning on the third day. Two ladies, both named Mary, who were followers of Jesus, came to the tomb where his body had been laid. The entrance to the tomb was covered by a large stone, and there were guards posted to keep watch over Christ's body. The ladies came to anoint Christ's body and prepare it for proper burial. And they waited till after the Sabbath had passed. They came to grieve. They had lost their friend, Jesus, the miracle worker who had been crucified. What had transpired over the past days for these ladies just didn't make sense. The one sent by God who had so clearly evidenced that he was the Messiah had been betrayed, falsely accused, convicted, beaten, and sentenced to die. So the ladies were sad. They were confused. They were afraid. Their hope had turned to despair. Their peace had been replaced by chaos, and they went to the only place that they knew to go. They went to be near Jesus. And suddenly, at the tomb, the ground began to shake. The scriptures say there was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. When the ladies arrived at the tomb, there was this seismic event, a massive earthquake. And simultaneously, while the earth shook, an angel came down from heaven, a visitor from God. His appearance was blinding, bright like lightning. His clothes were pure and unstained, white like snow. The angel's presence was so powerful and overwhelming. He rolled back the stone. He sat on it. The ladies were stunned. They were put into a state of awe and amazement. It was like nothing they had ever seen in the guards. Normally a model of bravery and courage and strength. Well, they dropped their swords and their shields. They trembled with fear. They fainted and fell to the ground as though they were dead. Now, the angel did not roll the stone away to let Jesus out of the grave. He rolled it away to let the witnesses into the grave to see that it was empty. This is not an account of the resurrection. This is the story of the discovery of the resurrection. An angel is a messenger from God, and so after his powerful appearing, he spoke to the ladies. He said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. And hear this good news. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he lay and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." The angel brought a message of peace. This must have been a very intimidating atmosphere for these two ladies with the angel's appearance and this massive stone being rolled back and the guards passing out before them. So the angel assured them that they need not fear. And then he gave the message. "I know that you're looking for the one that you saw on the cross. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." And he invited them not to just hear the news, but to see the evidence for themselves. "Come see the place where he lay." And after they had witnessed the empty tomb, he told them to go and proclaim it to Christ's followers and told them, "He soon will appear to you." So the ladies listened to the angel and they hurried away from the tomb, going to share the good news. Verse 8, So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. I love that part. I'm just imagining these two ladies in their clothes fit for mourning, for grieving, running to tell the disciples. And then suddenly, verse 9, Jesus, in resurrected form, appeared to them. Greetings, he said. This is Jesus. The last time they saw him was either on the cross or being wrapped for burial and placed in the tomb. This is the miracle of the resurrection materializing before their very eyes. Greetings, he said. And they reacted in the only way they knew how. They fell before his feet. They clasped them and they worshiped him. And Jesus gave the same message that the angel had given. Go tell my disciples, I'll meet them in Galilee. It was the miracle of all miracles. A profound demonstration of God's power, of his authority, of his sovereignty. A miracle of culmination and triumph. You know, we've been studying the miracle since January, and now our series is crowned with the greatest miracle of them all. So let's bring the series to a close today with a couple of questions. Question one, what is the purpose of the miracles? And question two, how should we respond to them? Now, whether you've been with us the entire series, or maybe you're in town visiting relatives and this is your first installment in the series, or maybe you've just been away from church for a while and decided you'd come back. Whether you've been with us the whole time, the questions are great questions for us all. Why did Jesus do the miracles, and how should we respond? You know, Jesus did not use his supernatural power to simply amaze or amuse people like some street magician. He had purpose behind putting the power of heaven on full display here on earth. So how do we respond? Well, there's a passage in the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 that speaks of both the purpose of the miracles, including the resurrection, and a proper response. Hear these words from John. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So we're in John chapter 20. We're at the very end of his telling the story of Christ's life and death and resurrection. And he says, you know, there are a lot of miracle stories I could tell you. John only recorded 7 in his gospel, plus the resurrection. He says, I could go on and on and on and tell you all kinds of stories about the miracles. But let me tell you why I am sharing the stories of the miracles. Verse 31. But these are written so that you may what? These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. John says, I pass on these stories of Christ's miracles to you so that you may believe. The miracles are designed to incite belief. They are designed to catalyze faith and life change. They point to something bigger than themselves. They evidence that the Messiah is the authentic Son of God. He's the promised Savior. What's the purpose of the miracles? They're simply signposts pointing us, leading us to believe in God's Son, directing us to him as Savior, pointing us to him as the one who came to save our souls. And look at the last part of the verse. It tells us what happens when we believe. It says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and hear this, and that by believing, you may have life in his name, new life, a second chance at life, abundant life, eternal life. So let's bring it all together. God sent his son to save our souls. How did we know he was his son? He validated Jesus by miraculous signs and wonders. He was evidenced. He was authenticated as the Messiah by performing miracles. And he came to save us. Well, why would I need saving, you might ask? Because we've all gone astray. We've all broken God's commands. We've all fallen short of his standard of holiness. And we've acted in disobedience. And we've been declared guilty in the courtroom of heaven. Whether you're 3 years old or you're 80 years old. And there is now a chasm between us and our loving, holy God. A separation between us and him that is our sin. And this is where the story becomes absolutely mind-boggling and amazing. The miracle-working Messiah, the Son of God, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross in our place to bridge that chasm. And all of our guilt was placed upon him. And he accepted our punishment. And he paid our debt. And he died the death that we should have died on the cross. But that's when Easter comes in. The grave couldn't hold him. He was raised on the third day. He was resurrected to life. And the miracle of all miracles occurred. And that by believing in him, by placing your faith in him, by putting our trust in him, we can have forgiveness in this life and eternity with him in heaven in the next. I guess you could state it simply this way, that the risen Savior promises eternal life to those who believe in his name. And that's where the story of the resurrection intersects our lives. So how do we respond to Jesus, the risen Savior, the miracle worker who died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead? We believe. I'm not talking about cheap belief. It's more than mere intellectual agreement. It's more costly than distant affirmation. It has more weight to it than cultural affiliation. It's belief that changes us from the inside out. It's faith that compels us to turn from our sins and ask the Savior to forgive us. Belief that's willing to turn your back on your old way of life and pledge allegiance to the Son of God. And I want to invite you to respond appropriately to the risen Savior today. Would you pray with me? And let's have a quiet moment with Jesus this morning on Easter. And if you're here today and you know Jesus, whether it's been for 1 month or 20 years, then follow the ladies in the story's leadership and fall at his feet and worship him. And if you don't know Jesus, he invites you to new life and eternal life. And if today's the day that you want to come to know him in an authentic way, then in the quiet of your heart, repeat this prayer after me. Mean it with everything you've got. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me through your death on the cross. And Lord, I accept you as my Savior, and I accept your offer of eternal life in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Well, Lord, we confess as a church that we believe the gospel of Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the work done on our behalf I pray for those who've known you a long time or for those who've come to know you for the first time today, Lord, that we might follow you in a way that brings a smile to your face and glorifies you here on this earth. It's in the name of Jesus, the risen Savior, we pray. Amen.